Book Choice, Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
Hello and welcome to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. Today's show is our very special Publisher's Choice edition, which means we have three, as always, we have three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's favorite number one bookseller, Exclusive Books. Each of these guys are joining us in the studio today to tell us about what they're working on right now. They're going to tell us about the books that are coming out in the next couple months or so. They're going to tell us about what they've been reading and really enjoying. And most importantly, they're going to tell us what they think you will most enjoy and most want to read on their lists and on their shelves. So as I mentioned, we've got the team from Pan Macmillan Publishers. We've got the team from Penguin Random House. We've got the team from Jonathan Ball Publishers. These are three of South Africa's top publishing houses. And right at the end, we're joined by our sponsors, the wonderful people from Exclusive Books, and they're going to be telling us about their shelves as well. And each of these Publisher's Choice segments are going to be bookended by some very fine music. As I always say, this is Fine Music Radio after all. So first up on the show today, we're going to be joined by the Pan Macmillan team. So I've told you this a million times before. Forgive me for repeating myself, but I'm quite proud. Pan Macmillan are my publisher. They've just published my latest book, which, as I'm sure you know, if you've listened to this show before, is called Book People, because I am Book People, so I bang on about it all the time. I want to welcome Pan Macmillan to the show. Let's have a listen to what they've got in store for us in the upcoming months, what they're reading, what they're selling, what they're bringing in from overseas, what they're publishing locally, and what we can look forward to as we head into the last long days and nights of winter. Perfect time for reading. Hi, Pan Macmillan.
Hello to all FMR listeners. My name is Mbali Simelane from Pan Macmillan South Africa. This Women's Month, we shine a spotlight on the remarkable voices shaping South African literature. Today, we feature two powerful storytellers, Zibu Sithole and Mphobo Shego. Zibu Sithole has come out with her third and final installment in her much-loved series about Zola, a young woman navigating love, family, career, and identity in a changing South Africa. Then we turn to Mphobo Shego, who carries us through a gripping story of Mbali Langa, a rising star in South African diplomacy, whose career and heart are tested by betrayal, ambition, and power plays on a global stage. Stay with us as we dive into their journeys and stories behind their works.
Hi, I'm Zibu Sithole, author of The Thing with Zola, I Do, Don't I, and Love Zola. Love Zola is the third and final book in a three-part series following the life of a 29-year-old woman returning to her life in Vosloorus, South Africa, after years of studying and living in Germany, where her dreams, her fantasies, and everything she's ever wanted had come to life. She has grown so much since we first met her. You know, Zola used to be so resentful of her home and desperate for the life she was forced to leave behind. She made every attempt to try and get back to Germany and Gunther and failed at every turn. But it wasn't the worst thing that could happen. Now we meet a woman who is not only sure of what she's achieved, but sure of who she is and what she wants instead. It's a rom-com, so expect romance, expect laughter, and the kind of drama that comes with preparing to build a life with someone who was raised in a home completely different from yours, with values informed by experiences you've never had and expectations you knew nothing about until you met them just a few years ago. As has been the case throughout the series, Love Zola isn't just Zola's story. It is also Mbali, Oguhle, Zozo, Ongama, and Nomsebenzi's story. Through their relationships with Zola, we see how women across generations, tax brackets, and ways of thinking feel about love and marriage, whether it's someone else's marriage or their own. I'm really proud of this series and how we got here. I'm also especially proud of how we're ending. I hope you enjoy Love Zola and all the love that went to building each and every character.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mpobo Shego, and I am excited to share my journey as a debut author and a bit about my first novel, Diplomatic Ties, right here on Fine Music Radio Podcast. Believe it or not, I wrote the first draft of this book back in 2009. Then life got busy and I put it aside. Fast forward to about 3 years ago, I dusted off that old manuscript and decided to finish it. After many late night and weekend writing sessions, I finally sent it out, and to my delight, Penn Macmillan South Africa loved the story and offered to publish it. So now here I am, thrilled to be seeing my story come to life as a published book. The inspiration behind Diplomatic Ties comes directly from my own life. From 2007 to 2011, I served as a South African diplomat in Belgium. And before I left for that first posting in Brussels, I realized that even though I knew a lot about international politics, I had never actually lived outside of South Africa before. And I wanted to read a story about a first-time diplomat navigating a new country and career, but I couldn't find one. So I decided to write the book I wish had existed. That's how Diplomatic Ties was born. It started as a story I wanted to read for myself back then. A bit about my writing process. As I mentioned, the initial manuscript was written around 2009 to 2010 while I was in Brussels, and then it sat untouched for years. When I picked it up again 3 years ago, I had to develop a writing routine. So with the full-time job, I became a weekend and evening writer, plotting scenes in my head during the week, jotting notes in a notebook, and then writing whenever I could find the time. I learned not to wait for inspiration, but just to keep writing consistently. Often the inspiration just catches up with you once you start anyway. That discipline of writing, even when I wasn't in the mood, was key to finally finishing the book. So, what is Diplomatic Ties about? The novel follows a 24-year-old young woman named Mbali Langa, a South African diplomat on her first posting abroad. Mbali goes from her home in Mamelodi, a township in Pretoria, to the high-stakes world of European diplomacy in Brussels. She is bright and ambitious, but soon discovers that her personal dreams become burdened by the needs of others, whether it's her family expectations or pressures from the job. The story also shows how ambition can be shaped by survival. Mbali faces tough choices in a competitive, sometimes unforgiving environment. Ultimately, it's about what it means to grow into oneself, whether it's in the workplace, in love, and beyond, while still finding your footing in a new world. There's some romance and intrigue, but at its heart, Diplomatic Ties is a coming-of-age journey about a young woman finding her own path. So if you enjoy stories of personal growth and the complex dynamics of love, career, and identity, I think you'll find something to relate to in Mbali's journey. Overall, becoming a published author has been an amazing experience. I poured so much of myself into this book, and I'm incredibly grateful that Penn Macmillan believed in Diplomatic Ties and helped me share it with readers. So thank you for listening, and thanks to Fine Music Radio Podcast for the opportunity to speak with you. I hope you'll check out Diplomatic Ties and that Mbali's story resonates with you. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you so much to all the listeners out there, and a huge thank you to Paige and the team as we celebrate Women's Month with the incredible voices of Zibusi Tole and Mpobo Shego. Their novels, Love Zola and Diplomatic Ties, will be available for purchase on the Pan Macmillan South African website. Please keep an eye out on all our social medias for any launches and other events that will be taking place. These are the stories that remind us of the power, courage, and complexity of women's lives. Until next time, keep turning the pages of local stories that inspire.
A big thank you to the Pan Macmillan for taking time off from reading and publishing and stocking shelves and selling books to come into the studio and tell us what they've got going on. If you love books, if you enjoy reading, if you enjoy buying books as gifts, I highly recommend that you follow Pan Macmillan and all today's publishers and booksellers on social media. They do a fantastic job. They're very vibrant on social media. They do lots of giveaways. You can win book hampers worth thousands of rands. You can win trips. You can win, I saw recently, you can win a trip to the Open Book Festival in Cape Town with lots of tickets for all the events. So you can't go wrong by following these guys on social media.
How about a track first? This is On a Clear Day by Track 5.
The Kaleidoscope Chamber Music Festival is a cultural journey that blends world-class South African classical and chamber music with food and wine, inspired by the heritage of the Karoo. Enjoy intimate concerts under wide Karoo skies. The lineup includes performances by renowned artists and the Arco and Cape Town Philharmonic Youth Orchestras. It takes place at iconic venues in Prince Albert Karoo from 22 to 24 August. Visit kaleidoscopefestival.co.za, book through Quicket, support music, community building and youth empowerment.
That was On a Clear Day by Wouter Kellerman, and you are tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice. It's our special publisher's show that happens once a month, where we get three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's number one bookseller exclusive books into the show to recommend books for us and have a bit of a book club with us. We've just had Pan Macmillan before that track. And coming up next, we're joined by the Penguin Random House team. Viz Chetty is here. Viz is a major publicist at Penguin Random House, and he joins us every month to bring us his list. Viz must read all day and all night. I mean, have you ever heard of more of a dream job? You can pick from just about any book and genre in the world. So you know that when Viz recommends a book, he's read a lot, and he knows what he's talking about. So if anything that Viz recommends appeals to you, you can find it in your local exclusive books or any of your local bookstores. Or if you miss anything that any of our publishers mention on today's show, you can simply log into fmr.co.za and wonderful Mzuma Keta will load this show as a podcast onto the website afterwards. So you can send it to a friend or you can go back through it and make sure that you have something good to read. Welcome to the show, Viz Chetty. Tell us what Penguin Random House has coming up for us for the month of August and September as we roll down the hill towards the end of the year. What are you reading?
Hello to all the FMR listeners. Thanks, Paige, for having me back on the show. This is Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. We've got the August big releases coming up in this segment. I just wanted to go through some of the stuff that we're reading, that we're loving in-house, that you should have a look at. Most of these titles are released in August, so you'll find them from the first week of August onwards, and some have already been released, so you'll find them in store, but I'll let you know which ones those are. Right, kicking off, we've got a brand new standalone novel by Joe Nesbo called The Wolf Hour. It's set in the town of Minneapolis in the States, which is a little odd for Joe Nesbo because he always sets his stories in his home country, but this is interesting and there is a link, so never fear. The story is about a detective called Bob Oz, who's a new character that we find in this book. He's a bit of a smart mouth. He doesn't usually play by the rules. You might not like him, but you'll root for him. And he has a situation where there's a murder on the streets of Minneapolis. It's a guy who is a sort of a shady character. He's a bit of a crook himself, and he gets murdered by a sniper in the streets. and the killer has now vanished into thin air. If you think about the Jackal and that sort of thing, this is where it leads. So Bob is on the case, and there's always more to it, and there's something more sinister at play than he initially thought. So it's a great thriller by Joe Nesbo. This is what he does best. He always delivers, and when he goes off the Harry Hole series, he always has really interesting stuff as well. So we love his standalones here. The book is called The Wolf Hour by Joe Nesbo, and that's out in August. Then the next one I've got is a debut novel. You know, Penguin Random House always highlights some of these really great debuts that come our way, and we really love highlighting these authors because there's such great talent out there, and we really want to give them the platform that they deserve, give them a bit of a start into their careers as well where we can. And this book stood out for us as a debut. The book is called My Other Heart by Emma Nanami Strenner. It is about three women, and it starts off with a missing child. And it's towards the end of the millennium, and a woman named Mimi Truong is on her way back home to Vietnam when her daughter, who's a little toddler, vanishes in an airport in Philadelphia. 17 years later, two best friends living in a town in Pennsylvania called Chestnut Hill, Kit, and the other one is Sabrina. They are best friends, but they come from really different worlds. Kit is half Japanese, half American, and she's adopted by some well-to-do parents in Pennsylvania. Sabrina is a little worse off than Kit is, or a lot worse off than Kit is, actually. She's the daughter of a Chinese immigrant and a single mother who is very strict, and she has her rules, and she's trying to do her best with her daughter as a single parent. So these two become friends, and they go off. It's the last summer before college. They both have questions. So the commonalities that you find between these two girls is what sort of binds them together. And Kit wants to go back to Tokyo, back to Japan, to uncover some of her Japanese identity and her past, and sort of link up all that for her. Sabrina also wants to do the same, but unfortunately, due to financial constraints, she can't really do that. So Kit, Sabrina, and Mimi, who's the mother I told you about at the beginning, their lives sort of intersect in a very profound way. It's emotional, it's deep, it has themes that obviously talk about race, culture, place, belonging, that sort of thing. If you like novels like that, this one is one to look out for, and I think she's an author that we should look out for in the future as well. Right, and then coming on to some nice thriller beach reads. I thought as the seasons change, people will sort of maybe make their way down to the beach or just relax a bit more as we go into the spring period and it gets warmer. I've added in some thrillers here. Sam Lloyd, who was the author of The Memory Wood way back in 2021, wrote a great novel, a really, really great novel. Some of you may have read it. It was a really great twist in the end. Good, fast-paced thriller. And now is back with a new novel called The Bodies. And the novel starts off with a man who, he's in his house in the middle of the night. He hears something downstairs. He obviously goes out to investigate. His name is Joseph Carver. As he comes down, it's dark, and he sort of gets attacked almost by whoever's in the kitchen. And then he discovers it's actually his son. And his son, Max, is busy scrubbing the kitchen floor and cleaning up. And after, you know, sort of pressing this information out of him, he's told by Max that Max has killed someone. He loves his son. Obviously, he wants to do the right thing at the same time, so he's sort of split, but he helps him to cover up this murder, which is where it starts. And the question basically is, you know, he's helped his son, he's uncovered this, but he has to live with that. And then he realizes, if it happens again, what will he do? Does it happen again? You'll have to read and find out. So that's a brilliant, fast-paced thriller. If you like Sam Lloyd, who wrote The Memory Wood, The Bodies is the new one. That's out in August. You should check that out. Then we've got Shari Lupina, who's a bit of a darling on our side. We all love a good Shari Lupina novel here at Penguin Random House. This book is called She Didn't See It Coming. It is about a young couple. They've got a great child. They've got this beautiful condo apartment. Everything's going well. Their names are Bryden and Sam. Bryden's the wife. One day, Sam comes, receives a call at his office. Bryden is working from home on that day, and she has failed to pick up their child from daycare. So he leaves his office and he goes home. When he gets home, he discovers everything's still in place. Her bag is there, her cell phone is there, keys are in the usual spot, but she's gone missing. And that's where the mystery starts. So again, another fast-paced thriller. Why has she gone missing? Has somebody taken her? what's happened. Lots of questions. You'll have to read it and find those answers yourself. So Shara Lupina really lets you down. Read it. It's called She Didn't See It Coming. That's also out in August. Then on the local side, I've got two that I really want to talk about. Ilse van der Merwe has done another cookbook with us. If you know her, she's done these really, really beautiful cookbooks in the past for us. We've always put together some great work for, and they all have really great themes. The first one was Cape Mediterranean, which was healthy Mediterranean eating, but obviously with a South African Cape twist, which was just amazing. And then we did another book called Simply Seasonal, which talked about the importance and how easy it is to eat seasonal food and how good it is for you in a South African context, obviously. So that book was also amazing. And then last year we did a book called Easy Al Fresco, which is all about eating outdoors. And at that time we had load shedding going, so it was really great to have a book like that, which basically said, you can go outside. Food is best consumed and prepared outside anyway. So that's what that book was all about. Now, this one, we've done something a little more different, but the same. You'll see what I'm saying. So the book is called Timeless South African. And what Ilse's done in this book is she's gone and done a huge amount of research around South African cooking and South African dishes in particular. And what you'll find in this book is 100 iconic South African dishes in this book, a little write-up from her research on why it's there and how it got to be there. And it's a nod, basically. It's a tip of the cap to South African food and the food that basically binds us all as a culture. So you'll find everything here from samp and beans to vetkoek to bunny chows to pumpkin fritters, chakalaka. She's got everything in there that you could think of as a South African. So I think it's an amazing book. As I said, the book is called Timeless South African. And I think it's one of those books that will stand the test of time because these dishes have all stood the test of time. And I think this will keep going. So Timeless South African by Ilse van der Merwe. Look out for that one. We've done such great work with our cookbooks and they really are beautiful. So have a look at that. That's actually out now. We've released that a little early, so that's in stores. Then another firm favorite on the cookery scene, Sarah Graham. Sarah's back with a book called Simple Suppers. We released some great books with her in the past, Wholesome and Home and Smitten. During lockdown, we released a great book called, we did one called Good and Simple, and just before that, we did one called Supernatural. That was the one we did in 2021 or so. And it was fantastic. So this book is a little different. She's gone back to a few more meat dishes as well. The last two were more vegetarian-based. This one has got everything. It's all about simple supper. So if you're a parent or someone who's ever asked the question during the week, what shall I cook for supper tonight, or what shall I have for supper, what can I prepare, this is a book that's going to help you. It has a schedule, weekly schedules. It has two recipes for entertaining every weekend. So it's a plan. You can have two recipes in there. If you are entertaining people at home, it'll give you that every week as it's set out in the book. And then you've got one bake. So one quick and easy bake recipe in there as well, weekly. So all these recipes will take 30 minutes or less to prepare. It'll use 10 ingredients or less. It will be done in 5 steps or less. That's a promise that she's made in this book. You'll see it. Simple Suppers is out now. It's a beautifully packaged book as well by Sarah Graham. And it's good to have her back on the list. That's it for me for the August releases. These are just some of the big ones. There's lots more out there. So when you go to your bookstore, you'll find them. And I'll be back next month. We're getting into the sort of meat and gravy of the year with all the big titles coming. I've got huge things coming September, October, November. So stay tuned. Wait for my segment. I'll be back next month to tell you all about it. Thank you very much and happy reading.
Oh, Viz, what a list. You had me riveted. First of all, I just want to say that I can't believe there's a new Joe Nesbo out. I don't know how Joe Nesbo writes so fast. There seems to be, every time you turn around, like Stephen King, the same thing. Every time you turn around, there seems to be a new Joe Nesbo out. The other thing that I want to make an embarrassing confession is for the longest time, I thought Joe Nesbo was a woman. And then I was so surprised when I saw some author press stuff and I saw that Joe Nesbo is actually a man, which I thought is ironic for a number of reasons. First being that we've got Women's Month coming up, and so it's ironic that I thought Joe Nesbo was a woman, but more ironic is the fact that so many female writers throughout history, throughout time, have had to take on male names in order to be big sellers. I mean, they even say that maybe Shakespeare wasn't Shakespeare. Maybe Shakespeare was in amongst many writers, Shakespeare, there were some women who were writing for Shakespeare. So I just found it interesting that I've always thought Joe Nesbo was a woman. Joe Nesbo is actually a man, a very prolific man, who has brought out this book sounds very thrilling. Speaking of very thrilling, the other book you mentioned is The Bodies by Sam Lloyd. And Viz, nobody talks about books like you do. Really, you had me drooling for that book. It sounds so fantastic. And then again, speaking of drooling, then you went into all those cookbooks, which sound fantastic. So thank you, Viz, for that amazing list. You can follow Penguin Random House, as I mentioned, on social media. They have a monthly magazine. They also have a podcast. So follow them on social media and find all these extra free content bits that will fill you in even more on books that we can love, books that you can gift, or books that you can read for yourself, and you can really get to stay in tune with what's trending right now. So speaking of playing on, let's play on with Love Changes Everything by Buchanan. That was Love Changes Everything by Buchanan, and my love is this show, and you are tuned in to Book Choice. It's our special Publisher's Choice edition, which I very much love. We are very lucky to get these real professionals at the top of their game, the very best publishers in South Africa, join us on the show to tell us what they've got going on. And we're into our third segment of this show. It's all going too fast, but we just need to carry on talking about more and more books. We have the Jonathan Ball publishing team, and they're joining us in the studio up next. Jonathan Ball are quite a specialist publisher in South Africa. Mostly, they focus a lot on South African nonfiction. So if there is a lot of nonfiction on your shelves, South African nonfiction, chances are much of it was published by Jonathan Ball. They really know what they're doing. Then on the side of that, they also import a huge amount of fiction and nonfiction from all over the world, global best-selling titles, and they are here today to tell us about some of those. Welcome to the show, to the Jonathan Ball publishing team.
Hello to you lovely listeners of Fine Music Radio, and thank you, Paige, for that lovely introduction. I am Shakti from Jonathan Ball Publishers, and we are so excited to be celebrating Women's Month this August. We wanted to champion some of our leading local women authors this Women's Month, and who better than Nazipho Shabalala, powerhouse businesswoman and author of After the Fires, Michelle Magwood, iconic book journalist and author of Brahmin Heels, and Varushka Devita, the endearing writer behind Deep Blue, who all give us a glimpse into their reading lists, their writing, and what makes Women's Month special to them.
Hi, my name is Nozipho Shabalala, the author of After the Fires, Unlocking the Power of Letting Go, available for pre-order online right now and on shelves nationwide on the 15th of August. Women's Month for me is exceptionally important. It is an opportunity for us to be intentional about pausing, reflecting, and acting. Pausing to take stock of the real challenges, structural and systemic and maybe even cultural, that women are still up against, and taking the right action to begin to chip away and work against these challenges, but also pausing to celebrate and acknowledge women who have gone before us and have done amazing work in contributing to the full liberation of women in their lived experiences. So this is a month that is deeply, deeply meaningful for me. Three books by women that I really love and have shaped my leadership, my thinking, my womanhood. I would highlight Anything and Everything by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. My latest read, of course, being Dream Count, which I just thought was a spectacular novel of beautiful stories of women really navigating the world as we know it. The second, I would highlight Brené Brown. I just think she does incredible work in lifting vulnerability and courage. The last read of Brené's that I picked up was Dare to Lead, which was all about how to navigate leadership spaces with courage and vulnerability, and really giving some practical tools and guidelines to do that. And then finally, I thought I'd put in a South African author who I absolutely love as well. It's Dr. Judy Dlamini. Her book, Equal But Different, I absolutely loved because it is a collection of real stories and real conversations that she's had throughout her leadership journey that bring to life some of the challenges around race, gender, identity, class that women have to navigate as they find themselves, whether it's in the boardroom or in any other leadership spaces. So those are my three picks for the month of August 2025.
I'm Michelle Magwood. I'm a book journalist and author of the book Brahmin Hills, The Making of a World-Class Garden, which is due out in September. It's about a magnificent new garden in the Midlands that was only created during lockdown, and it's already been given awards by the Royal Horticultural Society. It's Women's Month, and I've been asked to think of three women writers who've had an influence on my writing and reading. The first I'd say is Nancy Mitford. Many years ago, a paramour gave me her novel The Pursuit of Love, which opened the gates for me to Evelyn Waugh, Virginia Woolf, to Vita Sackville-West, Harold Acton, Diana Cooper, and so on, and I now have an insatiable appetite for eccentrics. The second author is Doris Lessing. As a teenager in Zimbabwe, as I was, her book The Grass is Singing probed the society, and it offered glimpses of a different way of being, as did her classic The Golden Notebook, which presented the budding women's liberation. The third author who I think influenced me was the food writer Elizabeth David. Again, a friend gave me her book, An Omelette and a Glass of Wine, which revealed a wholly different way of writing about food and of cooking. She introduced an exhausted post-war reader to Mediterranean food. She was the first real food influencer and such an elegant writer. Those are only three of many women writers who have influenced me.
Hello, my name is Varushka Devita, and I'm the author of Deep Blue, Why We Love the Sea. It's a non-fiction book about our human connection with the sea and with the oceans, and also about my conversations with free divers, extreme swimmers, scientists and researchers who work in magnificent marine environments, as well as insights from people who dip and swim for the sheer exhilaration and joy of being in salt water. What an amazing journey it was writing this book. For me, Women's Month is special for so many reasons. Firstly, I have two daughters, and also it holds so much promise and possibility. It's the month just before spring and summer, and it's a time to celebrate womanhood in all its complexity and beauty and femininity and softness. There's something so powerful in that. There have been so many women writers who have shaped my journey, so many to mention, but three who have really had a huge impact on me are Bonnie Tsui, through her nonfiction book titled Why We Swim. In this book, she demystifies swimming She explores why people swim, the many reasons that people do it, what it does for them, their journeys, her journey. And I just found it so inspiring. If you're a swimmer or if you want to become a swimmer, this book is really for you. Another author who has been part of my life for so many decades is South African Fanula Dowling. I have loved her writing, her poetry, her novels for decades. She is one of those writers who deeply understands her craft and is just so good at structure. So I highly recommend anything she's written. And then Joanne Hitchens, her annual anthology of short stories. Wow, the nuance that the anthology brings to the genre is just so delicious. So if you love short stories, I highly recommend any of those anthologies. Thank you.
Another absolutely astonishing segment. Four powerhouses in publishing. First off, Shakti Pillay, who's the publicist at Jonathan Ball Publishers, and she introduced us to Nozipho Shabalala, Michelle Magwood, and Varushka Devita. These are all massive names in publishing, and to get their list of what to read and their suggestions for Women's Month female authors and ideas of what to read is just a real win for us. And you just can't go wrong with anything that these women recommend. They really know what they're talking about. So I've made a list, and I'm checking it twice, even though it's not Christmas. And I'm going to work through that list and reach out to the publishers and get reading a whole lot of these titles so we can tell you a little bit more about them down the line. If any of them whet your appetite, do go out and you can visit our next co-collaborator on the show, Exclusive Books, and they will have all of these titles on their shelves. Thank you so much again to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team. To put together a segment like that, it takes an awful lot of work and collaboration and big ideas, and we're just so chuffed to have you on the show. And we're so grateful for this wonderful literary advice. Thank you. We're going to play a song now, Walking on Sunshine, and it's by the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
That was Walking on Sunshine by the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra, and you are very lucky, and I'm very lucky, because you are tuned in to Book Choice, our publisher's choice edition, right here on Fine Music Radio, and it's sponsored by Exclusive Books. How lucky are we? We've come to the final segment of our show, so I'm just hanging on to the magic of all these recommendations. We've got just one more segment. Sungano is here from Exclusive Books, and she's delving even more into Women's Day as a theme to bring us some ideas for romance and for some other big titles that are really selling out fast in their stores. So if any of these interest you, when this show goes live, I think there's going to be a big run on some of these titles, so make sure you get to your bookstore as fast as you can. Welcome to the show, Sungano from Exclusive Books.
Thank you, Paige, and hello, FMR listeners. My name is Sungano, and I'm from Exclusive Books, back again to talk to you about the best books to add to your shelf this month. August is Women's Month in South Africa, as you may know, and as a woman who loves to read, I would love to speak about a popular genre much loved by many women, romance. Romance is often spoken about as something that is strictly for women, but I don't think it is personally. And I hope the books that I have brought with me today inspire you to find something new in between the shelves at Exclusive Books and maybe even fall in love with one of them. I am currently reading Matchmaking for Psychopaths by Tasha Coryell, which is kind of fitting, maybe. It's not quite a romance because it starts with a breakup. Alexandra is a matchmaker who was broken up with by her fiancé on her birthday, who happens to have found love with her best friend. Lexi now has to regroup and try to continue with her life, even though she's a bit of a hopeless romantic. When people she knows start turning up dead, she starts to question everything and everyone around her. So far, I love the way it's written. It's a first-person POV, and I like reading books that makes it feel like I'm in someone else's head. So, back to romance. I love reading romance, and I only figured that out when I was in my early 20s, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself a hopeless romantic. I do think romance is everywhere, though, and romance is an incredibly popular book genre, made even more popular with the advent of BookTok. If you're not familiar, BookTok is the reading community on TikTok, where people share what they're reading, what they want to read next, and there are books that become bestsellers based off of how many people talk about them online. BookTok has also made reading more of a group activity for younger people. So if book clubs are how people used to talk about books and read together, then BookTok is the internet equivalent. Speaking of book clubs, if you have a book club or are part of a book club, I would like to hope that you make use of the Exclusive Books Book Club benefits. Did you know that you can register your book club with an Exclusive Books store and borrow up to 10 fiction titles a month? And if you like any of them, you can get a discount on your purchase if you buy 3 books or more. There are a number of Exclusive Books stores that also provide space for book clubs to host their meetings, as well as events like book club coffee mornings and all kinds of fun stuff for any book club that is registered with an Exclusive Books store. So if you have 3 or more members and would like to register your book club with Exclusive Books, pop into a store and ask a bookseller for assistance. Also, I'm not sure if anyone listening has heard of or maybe is a part of a silent book club, which are all the rage recently, where people meet up and read together silently. It sounds fun to me because you can talk about whatever you're reading afterwards with new people and make new friends and maybe find new recommendations all in a short afternoon or morning. It's cool to see how book clubs are evolving and changing with the times, but the heart of them will always be the books. Personally, I think romance makes the perfect genre for a book club because we all have different ideas of romance, but also because the core of romance is connection. And we live in a social world, so there are endless ways to connect with other people. One of which being through books. Book clubs are also perfect for discussing, for critical thinking sometimes, and most importantly, for being around other people that love to read. So with that, let's get into all the wonderful books that I have today. The books that I have are a combination of international and local, new and not so new, and are good vibes all around. Starting with Love Zola from Zibus Tole. This is the third book following Zola, our main character. If we start from the beginning of the series with The Thing with Zola, we first meet Zola, who is 29 years old, and she has just returned to Johannesburg after spending time studying and working in Germany. Zola must readjust to living in South Africa and rekindle some of her relationships, navigate the working world, and there's an office romance brewing in her workplace, but she's really just trying to figure out where she belongs. Zola's story continues in I Do, Don't I, where we get to dive a little bit deeper into Zola's story with her friends Okuhle, Thobile, and Ongama, as they all face their own relationship up and downs. Without spoiling too much, Zola has some new relationship dynamics to deal with in search of her fairy tale ending. Love Zola, Zibusitola's latest novel, is a continuation of Zola's tumultuous relationship and friendships, from career pursuits to unexpected confessions. Zola is finally happy in her relationship and committed to making it work. But when Okuhle comes back to Joburg, old feelings and forgotten memories are brought back to the surface. The question Zola needs to answer is, can love survive when the past refuses to let go? If you're looking for a feel-good, heartwarming love story, you can pick up Love Zola by Zibusitole. My favorite romance author is Emily Henry. I love her books and the types of stories that she tells. I would say that her books are romantic, but they also have strong messages of family and friendship. So I can't talk about Emily Henry without mentioning Beach Read, which is my favorite romance book ever. It's Emily Henry's debut novel, and it's about two writers, Gus and January, who are both trying to find their way out of writer's block by taking a beach vacation. January writes romance typically, and Gus writes more literary fiction, and they challenge each other to spend the summer writing each other's preferred genre. So Gus must write a romance and January must write literary fiction. They spend the summer writing, learning more about each other and growing closer. It's such a beautiful book. It's about chasing your dreams and being vulnerable and challenging yourself. And it's like a summer read, but I think it can work at any time of the year. On to Emily Henry's latest book, Great Big Beautiful Life, which is part romance and part fictional memoir. It follows two writers, again, Alice and Hayden, as they both are essentially fighting for a very big job. So the job in question is the opportunity to tell the story of Margaret Ives, who is a reclusive heiress who used to dominate the tabloids but is now living on a remote island. So Margaret has never told her story in her own words before, and she gives Alice and Hayden both the opportunity to write their version of her memoir, and she will pick the one that she wants to publish. Where is the romance, you might ask? Well, Alice and Hayden are both on the assignment. They're on the island and they keep running into each other and swapping facts that they might have collected from Margaret. Great Big Beautiful Life is a heartwarming story of two writers trying to find their voice, and they happen to find love along the way. Another local romance that is new and on the EB recommends list this month is Not Another Samosa Run by Nadia Kasim. This follows Tasneem, a young woman not really looking for a husband, but being pressured to by her close-knit Muslim Indian family. When Tasneem is advised by her mother to orchestrate a samosa run to try and find a man, she meets Adil, who agrees to pretend to be her fiancé so they can both find some peace from family pressure. Unsurprisingly, the more time they spend together, Tasneem discovers that she is starting to like Adil, but there's a life-changing secret that can change everything for the both of them. Not Another Samosa Run by Nadia Kasim is perfect for anyone who loves friends to lovers, fake dating, and most importantly, a potential happily ever after. Another romance recommendation straight from EB Recommends is Storybook Ending by Moira MacDonald. April works in tech and frequently visits her favorite bookstore. She has a slight crush on one of the booksellers, Wesley, and decides to leave an anonymous note in a book in the hopes that he will read it. Laura is a single mom and a hopeless romantic, thinking of giving up on love when she buys a book from her favorite bookstore and happens to find a note inside it. Laura is convinced that Wesley, the cute bookseller, left the note in there for her. Meanwhile, Wesley has been too distracted selling books and managing the film crew that is currently in the bookstore for a new movie to notice either Laura or April. Both women continue to leave notes in the books, hoping that they find their way to the intended recipient, leading to a blossoming, if unexpected, relationship. Storybook Ending is a lovely book about friendship, taking a chance, and best of all, how books can bring us all together. And last but not least, I don't think I can talk about romance without mentioning Ali Hazelwood, a much-loved book talk favorite. Ali Hazelwood became a romance darling after her first book, The Love Hypothesis, soared off of bookshelves everywhere in 2021. The Love Hypothesis follows Olive, who is a postgraduate student that does not believe in love. When she not so accidentally kisses the first man that she sees to prove a point to her friend, the man in question happens to be Adam Carlson, who is a young professor with a bad reputation. Somehow, Adam agrees to be Olive's fake boyfriend as they try and get through the rest of the school year and all the science conferences they have to attend together unscathed. The more time they spend together, the more their charade starts to feel like the real thing. This book is incredibly popular. If you haven't heard about it, I would like to congratulate you. It's sweet and funny and incredibly romantic. Plus, Ali Hazelwood often writes about science alongside her romance, so it makes like a fun take on popular tropes like friends to lovers or fake dating. The Love Hypothesis is also being made into a movie soon, so if you'd like to read it before it comes out, then this is your chance. Ali Hazelwood's latest book, which I also think is a great read and also follows similar tropes, is Problematic Summer Romance. This one follows Maya and Connor, who have a 15-year age gap, but they can't seem to stay away from each other. Maya and Connor were once really good friends, who were brought together initially by Maya's older brother, Eli. Eli is now getting married in Italy, and Maya and Connor are reunited to try and overcome some of their differences to be there for Eli. Problematic Summer Romance is a romance full of tension, middling friends, and undeniable connections. It's a little bit less sciencey than Ali Hazelwood's other books, but it's a perfect winter read. There are so many lovely romances to pick from, and I hope that you can get at least one of the books that I've mentioned today and potentially find your happily ever after at an Exclusive Books near you or online at exclusivebooks.co.za. Back to you, Paige.
Thank you so much, Sungana. What an amazing Women's Day segment that was. I must say, that matchmaking for Psychopath's book really interested me. Authors have gotten so clever with their titles. Sometimes all it takes is just to hear a title. You don't even know what the book is about necessarily, but there's something about it that makes you want to read it. I think there's a tension in that, Matchmaking for Psychopaths. There was something in that title that really appealed to me. I think it's a real tension between matchmaking, which is such a gentle concept, and then psychopaths, which sounds like it's going to be a really good one. And then I also loved what Sungana was saying about registering your book club with Exclusive Books. I didn't realize that you could borrow books. I think that's quite an interesting concept, and I'm curious to reach out to Sungana and find out more about that. Somebody asked me recently, because I've written this book, Book People, which is available at Exclusive Books, I get a lot of questions about book clubs and books. And somebody asked me recently, do people still have book clubs? And I looked at them, I couldn't believe they'd even asked me that. I said, of course they do. I get this feeling that book clubs right now are really trending. They're even bigger than they've ever been before. There was definitely a dip where people weren't doing it as much, but now it's become a really cool thing to do. And there are all different kinds of book clubs. Like Sungana mentioned, there's the Silent Book Club, which is really an interesting concept. There's the Mother City Book Club, which is a Cape Town book club. So you can find all of these on social media and join a book club, whether it's in real life or whether it's on social media. I myself run a book club on Facebook. It's called the Good Book Appreciation Society. There's nothing quite like talking about books with like-minded people who also love books. In fact, a perfect stranger can become a best friend almost immediately, just because we have all of that in common. So enough about me rambling on about book clubs, although I have to tell you, I could talk about this for hours. So good thing we have a time constraint and we have to get to our next track and I have to get a move on. A big thank you to Sungana at Exclusive Books. As I said, do follow them on social media. Find out more about their book club specials and how you can get in touch with them. Also about their magazine. They have an online magazine that they bring out every month. That's a really incredible read. It's free. And they also have so much other stuff. So that's Exclusive Books and you can find them everywhere. And that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. So all that's left for me to do is to very first of all, thank Mzumaketa for pulling our show together and curating and selecting all this wonderful music we've been listening to. I would very much like to thank Vanessa Levenstein, who is my producer and right-hand person on the show. She does so much stuff behind the scenes quietly. She beavers away, well, maybe not so quietly, when we talk about books, you can't keep us quiet. So I want to thank Vanessa Levenstein for being my producer on this show and my partner in crime. I also want to thank Fine Music Radio for letting us have an hour-long book show on radio. My word, we're so lucky, if you pardon the pun, my word. And again, I need to thank Pan Macmillan, Penguin Random House, and the Jonathan Ball Publishing team for joining us with these wonderful suggestions. And Sungano and the Exclusive Books team as well. You guys, we couldn't do this without you. We're so, so, so grateful. As I mentioned, this show is loaded as a podcast on fmr.co.za at the end of the show. And we can't wait to chat to you again about books in 2 weeks' time, same time, same place. Until then, happy reading. We're going to play out with Moonglow by Debbie Parkinson.